with the value of the this street, I don't think it is adequate, it is right to change the zoning for this street. This street has certain meaning for Fresno.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Hello, Raquel Rydell, 2491 West Dovewood. You're going to hear a lot about traffic congestion and safety and the lack of lighting. There are no street lamps on Van Ness at all. Driving down Van Ness is dangerous as it is without any adequate lighting. But in addition to that, I wanted to speak about, so I'm not going to spend my time on that. I wanted to speak about something else that was mentioned, and that was about the inability to put up affordable housing in unincorporated communities such as Cutler Orosi or maybe Layton, who was here earlier. The community was here earlier talking about the tower. We are putting our resources in the wrong places. Those places need affordable housing, and they need some infrastructure to support the people who live there. There are good educational communities there. My husband and I are both in education. I had to take the day off today to come here, and apparently I'm going to have to take another day off to go on December 12th. We are not highly affluent people, but we do appreciate what we have in our community, and it's nestled in a place that we love, as was mentioned here. There are walkers. There are joggers. There are kids playing in the streets, just like we know we all want to have. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't give affordable housing opportunities to people who need it. We absolutely do. I grew up at Shields and West. I understand the need. I also understand the need to preserve what we have in that community, as was just stated, because that is part of who we are in Fresno. I've served various school districts, through my nonprofit organization that I worked for. And I've been to the school districts in Dinuba, in Cutler Orosi, in Carruthers, and in Layton. And they provide really great services. What they don't have is the infrastructure to put up affordable housing. And so because of that, you're putting a Band-Aid on something that we're not addressing the real need. The real need is to support those unincorporated communities like Cutler Orosi, who sends a fair amount of students to Fresno State every single year. They have one of the highest graduating populations in their community, and they're unincorporated. What we need to be doing is not trying to hide this amendment. You're hiding. That was what's happening here. You're hiding these two properties, knowing that, well, if we just put it into one big lump sum and they approve this amendment, then we're all going to have to come back and do it again. Because you may vote to approve the amendment, but you can only give, according to what I understand, a recommendation saying that yes for this and no to that. So we're going to, the amendment goes through. We have to come back again on December 12th. Again, I urge you, the way this was handled was insufficient. Without proper notification and without proper due diligence to really understand where you're putting that affordable housing and the impact it's going to have on the community. Please do not amend this in any way, shape, or form. I understand that puts a strain on your commitments to meet the affordable housing requirement, but the way that it was not done correctly, and it didn't serve the community well.
Thank you very much. Okay, let's, if we can keep that to a minimum, because I'd like to ask the staff if they could put like a 3-minute clock on there just so we can keep it moving. Doesn't mean you can't go past it, but I will ask you to sum it up at that time. Next speaker.
Hi, Marco Mastro at 2491 Browning again. First, I'll keep it brief by saying I do agree with the opposition of the previous speakers entirely. I do want to point out a couple of things in support of some of what they said. One, we just all found out that the suggestion to the board for agenda number 3 is going to be a no. So my understanding from staff earlier is that could possibly change this to a minimum of 20 units per acre, not up to 20 units per acre. Therefore, now it is a completely different story on the lot, which I live right next to on Browning and Van Ness, that it would definitely be 20 units on what is currently a county island. Directly across the street is city. So back to the support of emergency services, who's being called, when are they being called? Back to what Mrs. Rydell stated, no streetlights, no sidewalks, flooding issues. It does very much sound, as Commissioner Wolf pointed out, that a out-of-town consulting company took Google's Maps, sat there, pointed, and it sounds like all staff did was drive around and see if the lot was actually vacant rather than determine whether or not it is an adequate place meeting all of the agenda items. Now, I understand that the environmental, Commissioner Carver pointed out the environmental study will be done after this possibly passes. However, basic common sense is going to tell you that a lot such as that on a county island is not sufficient for 20 units, regardless whether they're low income or not. And in address to that portion of it, there have been some people who've come up here and spoke about low income, affluent, whatever. I will say I did grow up in the Marks and Herndon area. I did move out to the Tower District for 20 years, loved my neighborhood. I moved back to this neighborhood for the aesthetics of the neighborhood, meaning the size of the lots because of my growing family. One thing we're going to notice a lot, if you look at the neighborhood, it is a lot of young families coming in and repurposing old homes. So one of my concerns is that if you do make the area less desirable for people wanting to live in a certain neighborhood that has larger lots and more as a park setting, as this gentleman pointed out, they may not start coming in and repurposing old homes, and eventually these homes will become vacant and will completely negate the entire reason for this hearing.
Thank you very much. Next speaker.
Good afternoon now, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. My name is Moses Stites, 5528 North Briarwood Avenue. I'm 4 blocks away from this location at Browning and Van Ness. And unfortunately, I have to state my opposition now to the entire amendment here. As you stated earlier, Mr. Chairman, it would have been better to have them individual because my opposition is not to all of them, but specifically to the Browning and Van Ness location. You know, I think the RENA and I think all those state obligations are there. It's something that you have to play by the rules and so forth. But I really think that you as the commission are remiss because you don't have all the information before you to make the best informed decision. It states in the staff report that the general plan was last approved in the year 2000. That's 23 years ago. I understand it's currently in process. There was also an amendment a couple years back. You can only amend certain things so much. And I really think that unless those amendments have infrastructure analysis such as traffic circulation, egress and ingress setbacks, you've got residents who've been there a number of years. They bought those houses for a purpose to live there. If they wanted to live near multifamily dwellings, I think they would have done that. This lot was for sale for a long time. And as I understand it tonight, and staff can correct me if I'm wrong, the developer bought it and then intended to rezone it for multifamily. The county did not approach the developer or partners, correct? As
the county, no, we approached the developer.
You approached the developer, okay.
This one is something that we approached the developer.
Okay, that's my misunderstanding. But at any rate, I just think there's other locations. And really, you talk about infrastructure. I don't think the infrastructure has been analyzed. Look at the roadway system on Browning. I'm not a traffic engineer, but I can tell you it doesn't have two 12-foot lanes with 4-foot shoulders. The radius is there at the corners. As other speakers indicated, there's a lot of walkers there, people that walk, jog, do whatever there on Van Ness. And I really think safety is going to be one of those issues. At a minimum, traffic circulation should have been updated for you folks to examine that, whether it's appropriate or not. Safety has been mentioned already, aesthetics. I'm not going to get into the NIMBY or the RENA and the other things. I just think there's other locations. The only thing I want to leave you with is, if you have all these other lots that are available based on these conditions that staff is looking at, inform those property owners with those parcels, along with Sean, along Faulkner and Van Ness and Old Van Ness, that this is forthcoming. Otherwise, it's going to be a surprise to them. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Hi, my name is Kerry Cruz, 5333 North Parish in Fresno. My property is two houses away from the property on Faulkner and San Miguel. A couple of things I wanted to point out. I'm agreeing with everything everybody said before. But since we are in County Island, the North Central Fire Station on Bullard and West would be the one handling us. It has just been refurbished for, I have no idea how much money it cost them to do that, to house now one fire engine and looks like a command vehicle. If they were going to be building on this, because I believe this property is probably about half an acre, so we're talking at least 10 units on that, which I believe means we'd be talking at least three stories on that. I don't know if they would need a fire truck on that, which I do not believe would fit in the brand new fire station that they've just done. Going through the math on this, I'm an engineer, so I'm looking at this from, I can look at this from purely a numbers perspective. It was presented that they are looking at 1,097 units, and that's we're going to require 54.85 acres at the 20 units per acre. And from the numbers that you were quoting on the size of these acres right now, it comes up with, there was one that you didn't state what the acreage was on that, but all I've got so far is 31.6 acres. So unless that one was over 20 acres, this isn't going to make it. With all of the properties in question here, they are nowhere near the 54 acres that they need to satisfy what the government is telling them. So this whole proposal is going to fall short. And as such, it just really needs to die at this point, because they have not fulfilled their needs of getting these 1,000 units. That's pretty much really what I've got for that. This should just be thrown away at this point and go back to the drawing board until they can come up with these 1,000 units, because all of these properties do not add up to that, even at 25 units per acre.
Thank you. I don't think staff was implying that this does solve the entire issue. They just, I understood, made it sound like this is the first step.
But if they're going to,
I was just stating what
right,
staff
if,
said. I'm not here to argue it.
I understand that. And but they're proposing this, saying we're this much short, and this is what we need, and so we're going to do this. So then we're going to have to do this again with the next property and the next property
that's
and the next property.
We'll be discussing.
And when's it going to end? If they're going to do something, then do it and satisfy the end of it.
Yeah.
One thing that I did forget to mention was this obviously would be devaluating my property values on this. And they've talked about, well, if we don't comply with the state stronghold over this, then we're going to lose transportation funds. We're going to lose this funds. Well, okay, now I'm going to lose directly funds for this, and I'm not going to see any of the funds that they're going to be getting for transportation. I'm just going to lose money on this, period.
Thank you. Next speaker. We can limit the applause. I mean, I know everybody agrees with the speakers. Go ahead.
My name is Stan Michener. My address is 5330 North Parish Way. I am the owner of the home directly behind the home that we're talking about, or the lot that we're talking about at Faulkner and San Miguel. A lot of people have placed a lot of emphasis and talked about the lot on Van Ness, and I agree with everything they're saying. The same is true about the lot at Forkner and Sam Medill. Aesthetics, traffic. If you can't really see on the map, but when you
you can go back to the microphone, then it's on the record, and you can point with that.
So this is the street. This is Sam Medill right here. And right at the corner of Sam Medill and Forkner, there's not even a street light. You go over there at nighttime, and you're looking for the street to turn into. It's very difficult. And if you have a multi-family unit there with all the cars being there, it's going to create even more difficulty. There is another way to get in to the property, but you have to go through a bunch of streets. Most people come right off of Forkner down Sam Medill to their home. I agree with Commissioner Wolf. Every property, especially a single, I think this is just less than an acre, is unique. It has a story. No one knows what the story is about all these different parcels, especially the small one. I have a story about it, but unfortunately I don't have the time. But I think to say, okay, you know, these are all okay, it just, that doesn't make any sense. And I would also emphasize, as far as the notice of this, I think I received my letter within the last week, I think. And from what I'm hearing from everybody else, or most of everyone else, that they received theirs with very little notice as well. I would urge the commission to not pass this amendment. Let's see if I left anything out here. Am I right in assuming that on that 1 acre lot, there could be 20, up to 20 dwellings?
It's from what I understood, yes.
Well, I think that speaks for itself. Thank you.
Next speaker, but I want to mention first, just to correct something. I made an assumption that there was no one here in support of this, and I didn't ask first. But normally, when we are presented with an item, I ask, is there anyone here in support? Staff made their presentation. Of course, they're in support. So I just need to ask, was there anyone in the public that wished to speak in support of this agenda item? Seeing none, then I would go to those opposed, and we've heard from a number already, and we'll continue and just try to keep it short and move along.
Mine will be very short. My name is George Derbyshyan. I'm at 5555 North Van Ness. I live right next door to the lot, right on Van Ness, just to the south. So our properties are adjoining. The only point I want to make is that the other lots in Delray and the other communities, their density is R1, and you want to move it to an R2. This lot is zoned R1EH with a minimum lot size of 37,500 square feet. This particular lot is zoned for one home, and it has over 40,000 square feet. So it would not make sense to downzone or upzone a parcel with nearly 40,000 feet down to asking to move it down to 1,800 square feet density. You can move from an R1 to an R2, which there's only, these numbers are confusing, but between an R1 and R2, there's only 600 feet difference. Between an R1EH and this one here, there's nearly 30,000 square feet difference. That is a major change. You should not adopt this. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker.
My name is John Cherkasian, and I live at 2511 West Browning. My main concern, beside all the other wonderful statements made by the previous people that came up here, I'm in opposition, mainly because I see so much traffic going up our street and down our street that to add another 20 cars for parking and the increase in traffic would be horrendous, I think, for any neighborhood, not just ours, because to put a 20 unit there, that means 20 more cars, possibly maybe 30 more cars. And where are they going to park on the street? There's hardly any parking there to begin with, one. And then people going to work in the morning, coming back at night, it would be a terrible tragedy for the whole neighborhood because it would increase all this traffic that we already have now. And then I see kids speeding back and forth. And I know there's going to be an accident with 30 more cars, possibly, because we only have a stop sign. And unfortunately, we have bumps, yes, to stop them. But on Venice, there's nothing. So I plead with the group to really defeat this bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next speaker. Forward. Is there anyone else that wishes to speak after this speaker? Come up to the front row if you would, whoever's next.
My name is Rick Bolton. Address is 5578 North Van Ness, and I would say I am ground zero right across from it. And back in 1991, a lady by the name of Ruth Nickerson gave me a call in Los Angeles and said, hey, I'd like to chat with you about a job at a place called St. Agnes Medical Center. And the job was very interesting. I obviously wound up taking it. And we toured Fresno because I'd never been up here that much. And Van Ness stood out tremendously in my family's eye. And picking up on the gentleman's point, more heart and soul than all the safety issues and the financial loss and everything else. When we just built our house, we're roughly 3 years post slab pouring. And we opened up the architecture because of the walkers, the visitors, the cyclists, they come over, we see them all day long. It's a very, very special development. And sticking up a 20-unit multi-story, that's the risk. And of course, it could be 40 units or larger, whatever it is, you know, in the next range of this cycle. It just tears the heart and soul out of what I think is one of the most special places in Fresno. So as you can probably figure, I would oppose this lock, stock, and barrel.
Thank you.
Can I expand any further?
Next speaker.
My name is Martin Garrison. I live at 5210 North Sequoia Drive. I was speaking earlier to item number 3, which maybe applies now to item number 4. And I, well, first of all, I'm in opposition to the amendment and agree with everything that has been said before. But what I also like to mention is that the 10-acre limit on the property size somewhat gives me a lot of concern, because the smaller property becomes, the more restrictions are, because you have the setback and where cars need to drive and park. So for me, that makes me believe the larger a property is, the more suitable it is for any new development. Besides that, it does not fit into this kind of housing environment that we have. So I'm wondering actually how many properties were not looked at that are over 10 acres just because they don't fit the requirement. Is there somewhere in the blue or light blue area a 50-acre lot where you can put so much more development in? And if the only setback is, oh, it's above the 10 acres, why are those not rezoned to 5 10-acre lots, but you have one coherent approach now with new building that you could make much better use out and get more units per square foot on an area like that? Let's say let it be a city block, or at least something that does not make the entire neighborhood that this is now trying to be crammed in not be coherent anymore. So that was a question. I don't know whoever picked those lots. Are there even properties that are over 10 acres that could be utilized for that? And is it really just not a rezoning of R123 or whatever it is, but a size rezoning that would give much more opportunity to a more coherent approach to this? I don't know. Are there lots like that? There's no lot over 10 acres that could have been looked at?
I think maybe we're getting ahead of ourselves. There may be and there may not. I don't know, and I don't think for this item it really is germane to the conversation or to our hearing. I understand what you said, and you've made a good point. If you have a larger parcel, get your 10-acre parcels from there if the 10-acre threshold is the issue. But that's not going to happen with this meeting today.
So. Right. I'm the reason why I brought it up, because we had earlier. Well, my time is up anyways. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. We have next speaker come up. I'd like to just say, just real quickly, I had a question for staff. I was reading, well, there was a comment made saying that you had more parcels, but the city of Fresno asked you to pull some. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, I'll handle it. Yes, we actually, there was a comment made that why did we not bring a proposal that covered all of our RENA application, and we did have that. When our housing element draft went out to the public, there was, you know, the city of Fresno commented and sent us a letter opposing a large portion of the parcels, because as we mentioned, the majority of the land that we're looking at are in the sphere of influence of our cities, and the sphere of influence of the city of Fresno was the largest percentage of the parcels. They are in some plan in their community plan areas that they are currently working on. The parcels that we had identified to zone as residential, you know, medium high density residential, they might have had them zoned in their community plans as commercial or residential. They were in conflict of what they were hoping to build as, and they would go to the state and argue it, and more than likely they would state as it's your infrastructure that those parcels would be developed in the city, as we allow development to first come to the city and they have first right of refusal for any future development in their sphere of influence. So we had to then pivot. So we are in the process of looking at other parcels and working more closely with the city to identify some of those.
Okay, and then one other comment I have.
And if I may, I did want to just also mention that the issue of the importance of the December date and why, as I said, we did have a full coherent process and thought of meeting the deadline of the December date, because as mentioned, any future parcel, anything after December, will have to be, as mentioned already, minimum 20 units. So anything that it is much favorable in the county to give the landowner the right to build one unit or 20 units. But anything we zone in the future is going to be 20 units minimum. So we wanted to bring in as many parcels as possible by the December deadline to allow that freedom to the property owners and not restrict it.
But you can see the problem in
I understand, but I just wanted to bring that up.
And the other thing that I don't know if people were aware, but one of the conditions of approval, and this would come from the city of Fresno, is that any development on these parcels, those within the Fresno city sphere, would not oppose future annexations. You know, to me, that takes away, you know, just their right to oppose something in the future. But let's move on, and I'm going to ask, we could just try to sum it up. You've heard all the opposition. I haven't heard any. I mean, you've heard some of the comments from the board or the commission up here, and I think once we're done with the testimony, we'll be ready to make a quick motion.
Understood. Joel Mazmanian, 2330 West Dovewood. I was actually the realtor that represented the seller of this lot, Gerald Tahasian, that sold it to Mr. Patel. And Jerry could not be here today, but I spoke with him a couple of days ago, and he was very upset that this was being proposed. If he'd known that this would even be a possibility, he would have probably sold it to somebody that was going to break ground after he sold it on a single-family residence and have a nice home there. He'd owned the lot for 30 years. He didn't build Unfortunately, his wife passed away, and it just wasn't the right time. But certainly the intention to him as the former owner was not for an apartment building to go up there on this lot. So I know that personally. And having said that, just on this side note, I did see a lot of blue on that map that you showed up there. And there was a lot of zip codes and a lot of quote-unquote high-income neighborhoods or zip codes that you had up there. And the fact that you targeted these is kind of interesting because there was a lot of land and a lot of zip codes that weren't touched. So I'll just be brief here. Just to sum it up, there is not one piece of commercial property on Van Ness Extension between Shaw and Herndon. Van Ness Extension is the crown jewel of Fresno neighborhoods. It's one of the reasons people enjoy walking and just being a part of it. Property values are affected if an apartment goes up here. There's no gas stations, no convenience stores, no apartment buildings. It's very family friendly, and truly it is the jewel of Fresno. On the flip side, whenever there are apartments, it changes the culture of the neighborhood. There's more noise. It's less stable. On average, the typical apartment renter stays 27 and a half months in that location. Okay, now compare that to the average Van Ness resident, and I can tell you because I'm a realtor, they stay for about 20 years on average. So you're going from 2 years on a typical turn to a 20-year turn. So it totally throws the whole neighborhood upside down. And so basically, imagine stuffing 20 families on a piece of property that's really designed for one family. And that's what we're talking about here. Something that wasn't really touched on, I just wanted to mention, is, you know, there's a 54-room healthcare facility right around the corner near Malik School. I think that's already been approved. Can you imagine the increased traffic and the congestion that's going to cause? And then you add this, an apartment building on top of it, and it's going to be chaos. And by the way, it's only a one-way street going out of Morris Avenue. You can't come in from Forkner to go in there. So they're all coming in from Van Ness, going into that healthcare facility and Malik School. I mean, in my opinion, it would be implausible to think that anyone would ever plan for an apartment building to go up 20 units to be built in the middle of a neighborhood, but that's what we're talking about today. So, you know, Van Ness Extension is a neighborhood, and let's please keep it that way.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to allow one more speaker, and this will be the last speaker, because I think we've covered this issue thoroughly. Unless somebody really had something unique or new, we can just sum it up.
I'll be very short. My name's Anna Yergot, and I'm at 2484 West Browning Avenue. Everyone already said basically what I wanted to bring up and the issues with safety and transportation and traffic. But I did want to specifically point out that Malik Elementary School is two blocks from this property. And there's, in the morning, there's kids walking to school, and I just think with their parents, and I think that will negatively affect, you know, their safety on their walk to school. So, and that's what I wanted to point out.
Thank you. Okay, at this time, I'm going to close the public portion, ask staff if they have anything they want to add at this time. No. So, not seeing any. I'm going to close the public portion of the hearing, bring it back to the commission for discussion and a motion. Commissioner Quist?
I had a
question. You have a question?
Yeah.
Commissioner Carter would like to ask a question.
So I see like Exhibit 1 is the general plan amendments, right? And then we also have our recommendations on these individual lots. Is this recommendation that we're giving to the board on the amendments separate from attached to a parcel? Are we recommending the parcels be rezoned and the general plan amendments of Exhibit 1?
Correct. So you would have to amend the example for rezoning the Delray parcels. We also have to amend the Delray community plan and then amend the general plan for its designation of what their medium high density is to be the maximum of 20 units.
Okay.
So if just by doing the Delray parcels, you have to do the other two actions as well with the Delray parcel.
Okay.
Not all parcels require that, as not all of them have community plans. So if you read like which ones have community plans. You're amending the community plan for some of them, and then some of them you're just, and you're amending the community plan boundary only for the Delray community plan.
Okay, so we could amend the plans and not rezone these specific properties too?
Correct, you could do that.
Okay, so I think my comment would be on, just as conversation here, the general plan amendments I see as we're not changing all that much with the wording, because right now in a medium density, it's right now the wording is one dwelling unit per 2,400 square feet, and we're changing it to 20 dwelling units per acre. And so if you did the math on, I was just wondering, like, what would it be per square acre currently?
About the same.
It's about the same. It's 18.15. So it's just, it's minute. So I would say I have, like, really no problem with these amendments, the general plan amendments, changing the language here, because it's very minute. I think
I was just informed that by state law that we would have to make sure that there are consistent, so if we did separate them, then it might reduce, you know, might have problems with the consistency, so we would recommend it be done together. I don't think we can do it separately, because it might have that.
Well,
problem.
I understand we can't, like, approve a lot and not have the amendment with it, but we could approve the amendment to the, without approving a rezone on the lot, right? We couldn't do it one way, but we could do it the other way. Chris isn't here.
We're going to double check with Chris, as he's the one who normally is the amendment, the zoning ordinances and the general plan amendment. So we can, I can answer that question correctly.
Yeah. Do you guys understand what I'm, where I'm at with this?
I don't know that that's, that would change much. Because are you saying you're just defining what medium high density residential would be?
Right.
And I'm sure that would come up at a later time. Chris, you have something to add?
So the concern is if, again, if it's just a wording change to a designation, that's one thing. But if we are affecting parcels, we'd want consistency between the general plan and zoning ordinance. So, and so that's where I caution staff. We just want to make sure that we don't set a situation where we have a higher density designation on a piece of property, but we still have a lower density zoning district, because that would be inconsistent. Because that would be inconsistent if we have a parcel that's designated for a higher density and then the zoning is not as high. So that's the concern.
So now, Chris, she is asking though that we actually amend the zoning that allows the higher density, but not necessarily a parcel. So if we amend, so I think that...
So generically, the commission could proceed with doing that. If we're not affecting a parcel, they would be consistent. That would still allow future parcels to come in at that density. The key here is, and I just want to remind the commission, you have a series, and I know council spoke to this previously, you have a series of parcels being proposed. So it is within the commission's purview to go through and say either... we don't want to take action on any of these, or some of them, or all of them. You can pick through those and make a recommendation to the board. So that's probably key. And you've heard testimony from a number of people based on certain areas. And again, it's the commission's purview to, you know, determine you know, what action you want to take. But I would make sure whatever action is taken for either including or excluding particular parcels, that's very clear, so we can take that to the board with any recommended action.
Okay. Commissioner Wolf.
I was going to make a motion. Should we keep going with discussion?
I think, or can I make a motion? Well, make a motion and then we'll have discussion after the motion.
Okay. I'd like to move.
I'd like to move to determine that the general plan amendment number 570 and amendment application number 3860 are not appropriate. It's the alternative motion, which means a denial. This is a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors. We are an advisory group for all of you in the audience, and that's it. We're an advisory group. I would like, this is a two-part thing. I would also like to request the permanent elimination of APN 415-13309, which is located at Forkner and San Miguel, APN 415-120-35, which is Browning and Van Ness, permanent elimination as candidates for low-income rezoning per general plan number 570. I'd also like to request, this is, you know, I'm sure it's going to be managed a little bit. I'd also like to request that each additional future parcel recommended for rezone be reviewed separately as it's on its own merit and its own separate agenda item going forward.
I'll second.
Okay. Commissioner Wolf, would you, or let me ask Councilor, when you say permanent,
I'm trying.
Are you saying you don't want the board? We're making a recommendation to the board. Our recommendation is do not approve any of these.
That's right.
But make sure you don't approve the ones you mentioned.
Yes.
Okay. Would it be enough to ask, if that motion passes, that we do not approve any, that our comments and the comments, I know the staff will forward all the comments to the Board of Supervisors, but to maybe highlight that there was no opposition, at least as far as I know, to the Housing Authority's property in Del Rey. You can still oppose the entire motion in the package, but the board's going to look at it, and maybe they'll break it up, maybe they won't. but I just would want them to know that we did ask, and there was no opposition to that. There was an opponent who spoke about concerns about the McKinley property. We had a letter regarding Riverdale, and then we had the one for Ashland and Clovis. The property in Carruthers, while we didn't have any opposition, I think this goes to what George Dervishan had mentioned about the change from zoning R1 to R2. The R1 zoning is 6,000 square feet, and the current R2 zoning allowance is 6,600 square feet. That might change if you had 20 units per acre, but the difference there is not as great as going from a single-family residence of 37,000 to 6,600. I guess my question is, are you wanting to separate any, or are you just telling the board we don't support any of them?
I'm definitely separating the two that I mentioned. I'm separating those out and saying definitely no, not going forward with even having to review them. The others, I think we should review, even down to Del Rey, and review them appropriately and notice surrounding neighbors so that each individual parcel, wherever it may be, Del Rey, wherever it may be, that group of neighbors really is here. The group on McKinley is here. They're all here. We happen to have one group that is here concentrated, but that's because they all knew about it. These other groups, I'm not sure if they did. I don't feel confident they did and are represented well here. And I think we should give them each their opportunity, no different than the prior Layton program. I think each one of them deserves that opportunity. Mm-hmm. So that's all. So I'm just saying, I'm requesting that those first two APM numbers be eliminated permanently so that we don't have to have everybody come back in the room. That's all.
Maybe council can correct me. That for the December meeting, that won't happen.
Nothing can be permanently deleted from the list that goes to the board. This list will go with as it is with your additional comments. So you can say.
And like I said, this is advisory, so the board meeting is important.
So the motion as stated is essentially what Chairman said is to vote the whole thing, recommend not denial, with a special note that those two parcels are you extra don't like, and a recommendation that each parcel, if it